Jesse Winker, I guess, had to leave the game. That's why Vientos was in there. That's a problem. The Mets were counting on Winker to be back in there, be a lefty bat to hit fifth behind Pete Alonso. And if he's hurt, and if it's an oblique thing again.
It's not. It's back tightness.
That's what he said?
Yeah. I just followed up too. Yeah. Okay. I don't, it doesn't strike me as a big deal. I mean, I'm not their doctor. Right. I don't think it's that big a deal.
Back tightness. But yeah. The second game back?
Well, maybe that's why it's tight. You know, he also really ramped. He came back earlier than people thought. I remember him saying that. So to get back from the injury, which he did have initially, which is a pain in the ass to navigate because it's just all unpredictable, he really put in a lot of time and maybe he overdid it. You know, I mean, so it doesn't sound.
Rushed his way back.
Doesn't sound very ominous to me. Now, if it was the side, if it was the oblique, then he's done the rest of the season. I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, well, it is a big deal only in that, we talk about the fragility with their starting rotation when Senga's supposed to come back tomorrow and then Manaea on Sunday. And if one thing goes wrong, all of a sudden what we look at as a great, you know, potential strength with having their healthy five in the rotation, it can become a great weakness without one of those guys. There's very little room for error. And Winker is one of the important bats that they were getting back. If not him behind Pete, they do not have a five hitter to protect Pete Alonso right now in the lineup. It's not McNeil. You know, Nimmo's now been moved to the top of the order. Vientos has not been that guy. Especially a lefty bat. Who is that guy? It's not Alvarez. He's obviously not here, but it's got to be Jesse Winker. If not, then the Mets are going to have to figure out a way to go get, in my opinion, a lefty bat, even if it's just for DH. But they would need a big lefty bat to protect Pete Alonso.
I know you're talking about the lefty sticks here. Obviously, Marte being hurt, so that even takes away, you know, that option, like for him to run out there and play a little bit. Again, it doesn't strike me as a big deal, but even Jesse Winker, who I like, and listen, I know the splits, and I think he's a gamer. I know he's got pop. I like him. I really do. But, like, to me, Winker as the main source of protection behind Alonso is not World Series worthy. You need more than that.
Yeah. I mean, I could live with him, though. He's a pro who could do a little bit of damage, just lengthen out that lineup. You're saying you need a bigger bat than that there?
Well, as long as Taylor's still playing center, as long as the catching situation still is what it is, as long as third base is still a little dicey, yeah, I think you do.
And maybe it's not as important to get a lefty specifically, but just a bigger bat. I still like the idea of having a lefty behind there. I think Winker was the perfect fit to lengthen out this lineup behind Pete, especially when you have the first four that are so strong, assuming Nimmo maintains this. All right, BT, it's Al. The BT and Sal Show on the Fan is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac is the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Back to the phones, 888-808-1019. Mike is calling from Scranton. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, BT and Sal? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. You got it.
Good, yeah. So I totally agree with you guys on Suarez and McMahon as not being good fits for the Yankees. Too many strikeouts, don't run the base as well. You guys talked about it. I got two names.
Yeah, just to be clear, McMahon is an elite fielder, so he's more appealing in that regard, just to be, you know, true to exactly what we said.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay. The two names I haven't heard much about, but I think are at least options, are Josh Smith on the Rangers and Brendan Donovan on the Cardinals. I think both of them, they got OPSs around 800.
Mm-hmm.
Play a lot of positions, play them well, good defense, contact, kind of exactly what you guys were talking about before.
Yeah, but Mike, I don't know if either team, you know, St. Louis is hanging around and Texas is hanging around. Now, Texas needs to get their offense going. Texas very well might strip down and they might sell. They've been a good pitching team this year. The offense has taken a massive step back. But until they come to the determination, because numerically, or at least from a standing statistical perspective, they're not out of it. So we can sit here and both of those, both those players are good. And both those players have winning October attributes. But until those teams are ready to strip down and sell, they're not available.
Right, but I'd rather look at those guys. Not that I'm ultra familiar with them, but I'd rather look at that type of ball player than just, Suarez has 30-something home runs. Let's bring him in. Or McMahon, who the Yankees have been eyeing for a couple of years here, or at least rumored to be eyeing for a couple of years, and all of his strikeouts. You're right. At the very least, see, here's how you have to look at it. You're trying to upgrade from Peraza, which should not be that difficult. However, finding a defensive replacement for Peraza is challenging. You saw his glove the other night, what difference that can make.
He's a hell of a fielder.
Dude, and I love that, especially on a team that can be loaded offensively. Their lineup is still lethal. All right, do you want Peraza and Volpe at the bottom of the order together? Maybe not, but I still believe in Volpe's bat eventually, and he's still a threat. Even if it's a minimal one at that, you could get away with one bat not being a threat. But anyway, they're going to upgrade. So when you upgrade, I'd want as close to Peraza defensively as you could get. with an upgrade offensively, and McMahon is that. He is an upgrade over Peraza. He's a big league bat with a little bit of pop. My only issue is I just don't like all the strikeouts. I believe in a guy that could put the bat on the ball, can do more damage because you're making the other team make plays. We've seen what could happen. Or even if it's a sack fly or a sack ground out, scoring some runs, moving runners over, those little things that from a guy that's going to be primarily a defensive player, if he's not striking out, could still help you offensively.
Sal, if baseball fans, especially the Yankee fans, and I say this really assuming, if not knowing, that most fans have finally learned what you're saying. But for those Yankee fans out there who still associate prowess and championships and winning, you know, with bully ball. I'm talking about the winning at the highest level with bully ball and just bludgeoning teams to death with home runs. I don't know what to tell them. How many playoff series do you have to watch where, you know, guy on second, nobody out, not getting over. First and second, you know, first, second and third, nobody out, not getting in. The sack fly, the strikeouts. There's been a lot of games this year. Now, I don't have it in front of me, but just knowing there's been a lot of games where the Yankees have struck out 11, 12, 13, 14 times once or twice in a game. It's unacceptable.
Way too much. I was thinking about this the other day as I'm watching the Yankees finally start to do the right thing here and put guys in their normal places and get rid of guys who are unproductive. If I were building a team in today's day and age, you know, I had this conversation the other day with the Yankees, like which guys would we want on our team? And so,
yeah, I remember.
But if I were building a team, I would look to, I forget who the hell we were talking to about this. We might have been talking to somebody, some former big leaguer, but it's like, I'd build a team of speed demons right now and I'd run circles around everybody. And I don't think that's far off. I would look to build a team that plays baseball, puts the bat on the ball, runs, catches, and throws. And I guarantee you that that team would win a lot of games just by not beating themselves. Where you see so many of these teams, it's some teams do it a little bit better and sort of come back around now with the base paths being shortened. So like
the base is widened
okay,
as well.
Yeah, speed being more of it. Okay,
little
fine.
A little bit.
But that's how, if I were GM, my vision, forget power, while I know you need some of it, so maybe you have one power bat or two power bats, but I would be looking to build a team of just well-rounded, solid ball players that aren't going to beat themselves. Hit the right cutoff man, throw to the right base, take the extra base, don't get picked off, catch the ball, throw it, put the bat on the ball, put pressure on the opponent, on their defense.
Yep.
Smart, high IQ team, and I guarantee you that would win a lot because nobody else does it.
So basically nine Derek Jeters.
It's like Tom Thibodeau did with the Knicks when he first got here, just building a team of no names, essentially, that played harder than everybody else. Look what happened. Yeah, I mean, obviously you'd love to get Jeters, but yes, even a little bit lesser of him because, you know, he's a great player and Hall of Famer. But yeah, I don't want the A-Rod types. I'd take one.
Well, it depends what year we're talking about with A-Rod. Well, I mean, if he's hitting 320, 330, well, you know, not striking out. He never struck out 200 times. He was never that guy.
I'll tell you what I like.
And he could run.
I don't want Giancarlo Stanton.
No, absolutely.
I know what he can do. I know the power bat. And fine for the Yankees now, having him hit behind Bellinger, whatever. I want more Bellingers.
Yes.
Less Stanton.
I agree with that. Like, to me, Bellinger, now, this is maybe too much of a compliment, all right? Because he's faster than the guy I'm about to mention. And the guy I'm about to mention was a better hitter. But he's kind of like a poor man's Paul O'Neill. To me,
Bellinger was not as good offensively.
Not as good as offensively. And now O'Neill was great in right field, good arm, really. But Bellinger is better, and Bellinger is faster.
Right.
But O'Neill's got a little more pop, hit for the higher average, more of a batting title 1 year or so. But
guys like
O'Neill. Winners.
Guys like O'Neill.
Winners.
Just guys like the Yankees used to have, Brocious, just ball players. And again, I'm not trying to say exactly like the Yankee dynasties, or I'm just talking about guys who could play the game. Tyrone Taylor, big base hit right now, just scored. Mets scored the first run of the game. Guys like Ribby double down the line. Now, again, I look at him more as a fourth outfielder, but guys like that that play the game hard.
Yeah.
Now, you want to, like I said, a little bit more than Tyrone Taylor, but those guys will help you win ball games more often than not. At the very least, there's got to be a balance. But that's how I would look to do it and take advantage of other teams' weaknesses.
Two best teams I've ever seen, all right, with my own eyes. I would say the 98 Yankees and the 86 Mets. I'm talking about New York teams, right? And I bet this came up a couple months ago. I don't know how or what. It wasn't pertaining necessarily to this, but I'll start with the 86 Mets. You associate that team, you know, obviously Doc is a pitcher and the bullpen, but the power like Darryl and Gary. But if you really look around the diamond, yeah, you had a platoon at second, you had a platoon at center. with Dykstra and
Wally
Back with a Timmy Tuff and Mookie. Yeah. Yep, Mookie and Dykstra in center. Rafael Santana didn't hit a shortstop. Mm. Ray Knight was a role player. I know Hojo played a little bit as well. Yeah, and then you mix it like the Kevin Mitchells. The point is, like, then even like the 98 Yankees, like, you had the Jeters, you had guys who could just catch the ball and not necessarily, even Girardi, because that was not yet Posada, because Girardi was the first two championships, and then Jorge came in and got the next two. So the two most powerful, potent teams I've ever seen in New York had a lot of players like you just described.
And I do think the Yankees are a lot closer to that than we either think or it has been in years.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting there.
That's why I liked Plan B.
Yeah.
That's the main reason.
Right, but I don't think that directly correlated to what I'm talking about now.
Go ahead.
Because now, Bellinger certainly, but Judge, like, if you're going to build around a superstar player, he's the one because he can run, he can throw, he can field, and obviously he can hit, not just with power, but with high average. See, Stanton really the one clear weakness that goes against what I'm thinking, but almost everybody else, Grisham obviously can do a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific defensive player, a good
power, could
proven
run.
Offensive guy. Bellinger does a little bit of everything. Dominguez mm-hmm. can fly.
Oh.
His bat's starting to come around a little bit. All right, the power not there. In the defense, all right, not every player is going to be perfect. Goldschmidt has been a godsend. It's why the Yankees chose him specifically. You don't have to worry about him. Okay, is he going to be the MVP offensive player that he was? No, but he's a proven professional major league at bat still. And what he does in the infield is invaluable.
He's a really good fielder. And we knew that coming in.
He's a terrific fielder.
Always been that guy.
You don't have to worry about that at all. Rizzo was supposed to be, but he got banged up, and he was never what he was at his peak with the Yankees.
He couldn't even field after that.
Jazz, elite
great
second
baseman.
And even with his offensive deficiencies, I don't think he's as good as he's shown here in recent weeks offensively.
Yeah, this is not really emblematic of who he is. Unless he's hitting his prime now. This is an elevated version
correct.
Of Jazz, which I like, but I'm with you.
And I'd rather see fewer homers, higher average, and now you have a real good ball player. Volpe ideally should be able to do those other things. Wells as well, like solid defensive, and he's got some pop, like for a catcher. You're not going to have everything all in the same positions or all power, all speed and defense, but they have a nice balance. If they get the right third baseman, now I really think you have a deep, versatile lineup that could do a bunch of different things, but also I might want to remove Stanton and all those strikeouts from that lineup potentially as well. But again, they're going to say postseason, the threat, I understand it. I'm just saying that would be maybe the one. In addition to adding a balanced third baseman, Stanton at DH, like, for example, Grisham in the outfield, Dominguez at DH,
mm-hmm.
and now I feel maybe a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I feel you, and I'm with you mostly here. I think the only thing that I would push back, not even push back, but just throw it out there for conversation, like, I still worry about the rotation. Don't get me wrong, excited about the young man last night, his demeanor. You know, if you missed the stat, I said it a couple hours ago, but he averaged Schlickler.
God,
that name is impossible to say. God, impossible to please. Schlickler averaged 98.7 miles per hour on his four-seam fastball last night, which is the highest velocity on the average for any Yankee pitcher this year. That's amazing. I mean, the guy shows up.
Yeah,
he shows up and he hits 100 miles an hour five or six times. So that's encouraging, but you still have to worry about Rodon a little bit. You know, I like Warren, but he's had a couple of games where you do get worried. You know, I love Fried. No real concerns with Fried, but they need an arm too.
Carmine is calling from the George Washington Bridge. What's up, Carmine?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we got you.
Okay. Well, if this is a trade that works, I think the three of us need a finder's fee. But that being said, there's two things I don't know. I don't know contract status of these guys, and I don't know what the Mets are going to do if they actually pull off this trade. You guys just mentioned Trent Grisham,
mm-hmm.
who I absolutely love. He'd be perfect in center field for the Mets.
Okay.
And Jeff McNeil was a great third baseman at one time, and he's still young, and maybe a change of scenery might be just the thing he needs, and they could slot him in at third base. Both teams seem to win here. Now I need to hear the pros and cons, because like I said, there's a few things that I don't know. I don't know contract status. I don't know. I'll give you a contract.
Well, Grisham's deal is up after this year. He's making $5 million. So there's no more options. That's it. Boom. $5 million done. And they won't re-sign him, I don't think. McNeil's got, what, 2 years to go on that extension he asked him a couple of years ago? I would not allow the Yankee, and I've always subscribed to this, like if there's a good deal to be made, I'm not going to let, like if I'm a Giant or a Jet or a Yankee or a Met or a Ranger, maybe Rangers Isle's different, but I'm not going to let the rivalry get in the way of me doing something that I believe is better for my team. I've always said that. Having said that, there's no way the Yankees and the Mets are making a meaningful deal, even if it could help the other team a little bit. From a Yankee perspective, I don't want McNeil. I would rather have Grisham more than McNeil at this point, but it's just not happening.
Yeah, I think that it is a fit. We talked about this months ago. I think that there was a fit, whereas the Mets had two or three options at third base, and the Yankees had multiple center fielders, Grisham being the expendable one, potentially, and he would fit perfectly with the Mets. I don't think it's a fit anymore. If I'm the Yankees, I'm looking to do better than Jeff McNeil at third base. Jeff McNeil's not an everyday third baseman. His best position is probably second base. He's good. He's versatile. He's a useful piece. He wouldn't be the key for me if I'm looking to upgrade at third base for the Yankees. I'm going to get a big league third baseman. Grisham would be a fit, but I would think it would have been a fit earlier in the year if you're looking to trade, say, a Beatty with potential to be an everyday third baseman, cheap, under control, and then you swap Grisham. The problem is the Yankees aren't looking for cheap and under control or potential. They're looking for a big league-ready third baseman now.
Yeah, and just to dot the I's here contractually, I want to make sure we're on point with this. So, all right, so Jeff is due 15.7 this year. Next year it's 15.7. See, this I wasn't aware of as much, so I'm happy I looked this up. In 2027, there's a team option with a $2 million buyout.
Right.
So, again, the Yankee-Met thing is not going to happen, but if there's a team out there that values Jeff McNeil, and I could see why some might, the great defensive versatility, and he's hot right now.
So one more year.
It's one year. I mean, the 2027 contract is team option.
And they'll buy him out. You know me. I would move on from McNeil. Like, he's got moments where you're like, oh, this is why you keep McNeil. He's versatile, which could be useful, but I think McNeil has had the problem his entire career of thinking he's better than he actually is. I never loved his attitude, being a selfish player, throwing the helmet down, crybaby. Now, he's gotten a little bit better with that.
He has. I've noticed that myself.
He had to. Otherwise, he'd probably be on the outside looking, and I think he's overpaid. Remember, he was a batting champion. He was an all-star. Well, where is that? Where's that been exactly? To me, it was more fluky, so I don't love McNeil. The Yankees need to do better than that. Vientos hit a couple balls hard here, getting an opportunity with the injury, but I don't know the extent of it. You said back tightness for Jesse Winker, so we'll see. But if Vientos could pick it up a little bit, that could be a game changer. Hey, maybe Mauricio could turn into that lefty bat behind, Alonso. Obviously, Vientos. Mauricio's shown some potential here. When you hear that song, what do you think?
I think Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah,
me too. That's the first. I think that's the only thing. Wait, although it was part of a movie as well, was it some sort of beach scene, 80s movie? But first thing I think is Pee Wee.
I'm trying to think of what movie it was that you were...
I can't remember.
Remember the movie La Bamba?
Of course.
Wait, was that the plane crash movie, or am I thinking something else?
There were several. There was the female...
The one with Buddy Holly and what was his name?
Richie Valens.
Yeah, Richie Valens. Was that the right movie, Hoff, that those guys had that fatal plane crash? I remember being, as a young kid, watching that, being impacted by it. It was a great movie.
Wow, you remember that?
Great movie. Yeah, I just remember, I mean, maybe 14 or so watching the movie, maybe younger even.
That was a good movie. I mean, obviously it's sad. It's a good movie, though.
But anyway, that song, Pee Wee Herman. Did you watch the Pee Wee Herman special yet?
No, I have to. I know I have to jump into this.
Is it on Max, Hoff? Have you seen that Pee Wee Herman, the Pee Wee Herman special?
Oh, yeah. I watched both episodes.
Where is it on? It's on Max? Yeah, it was tremendous. For anybody who lived through the Pee Wee Herman era, you were a little bit older than I was, but I remember watching
it. No, we still watched it, 7th, 8th grade. You and my buddy with the movie. Not the Saturday cartoon or the Saturday version of Pee Wee's Playhouse.
I did watch that, Pee Wee's Playhouse.
That's the 5 or 6 years in age that would matter.
But either way, the movies, his rise, the fall, you really should watch it.
Did you realize what came first, the movie or the TV shows?
Movie came first.
Yeah, I thought
100%.
I thought it was the opposite.
No, movie came first, no doubt.
Yeah, I used to think so too until I saw this. I was like, wow, the timeline. My first recollection of Pee Wee was on Pee Wee's Playhouse.
On Saturday mornings.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. But that song, it makes me think of him all the time. All right, BT.
I found the other song, by the way. It's from The Sandlot.
There you go. That's one of them. That's one of them.
Do you remember what scene the Sandlot with the Sandlot?
Was it when he kept running the bases? No.
Big Chief. Chew. Chaw. When they go on the rides and then they all kind of upchuck
and they get sick and they throw up. Yeah, they try the chew for the first time.
Yeah, I don't really remember that movie. I've seen it a couple times. I never loved it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't grow up in a Sandlot like that.
No, but I know you certainly didn't grow up playing stickball, somebody told you a week ago. About stickball. Yeah. I heard that.
No, and also I think I've said this story before. The thing that bothered me about that movie, the Babe Ruth autographed ball being slobbered on by that big dog.
Mm-hmm.
It just I can never get over it. Like, it bothered me. Yeah.
Well, from a collector ball?
Yeah, I think so.
Did I ever tell you the time what I did with the Hank Aaron ball?
You did tell me.
I did tell you this.
You did tell me, but okay. Go ahead, say it again.
Well, I don't want to be repetitive. I told you?
Yeah.
No, my dad met Hank Aaron in the 70s, right? And he had a Hank Aaron ball on his trophy case because he used to play for the police softball team. He played a lot of ball, my dad, so he had a lot of trophies. And he had this prominently featured. And one day, me and my buddy Tommy, my best friend growing up, you know, we hit too many tennis balls in the gutter, no wiffle balls, nothing to play with. So I'm like, oh, I went and it wasn't like you go to Dick's or you order Amazon and 12 new rollings show up. You got to scrounge whatever you can find.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, and I knew Hank's name, but I really didn't care, quite frankly. I just wanted to play ball. Not like malicious. I just wanted to play ball. And we take the Hank Aaron ball and we go in the street. And not only do we have it to catch, we're whizzing each other ground balls. Oh, but the Hank Aaron
just
ball.
Scuffing that thing up.
Scuff beyond belief. I put it back in the trophy case. To my dad's credit, he did not get mad. Because it's not like I'm trying to steal this car. I'm playing baseball.
He knew right away that.
Of course, he wasn't a collector. He didn't then. You meant something to you. So there was no market for that. I'm talking about the early 80s here. So how do you get mad at your son or your daughter if they just have a pure love for the sport and they're just trying to play catch?
Yeah.
You know,
good
how
job
do
by
you?
Your dad.
Yeah. Yeah, great job. And then I got him the Pete Rose ball signed later, and I made amends for it when I started my career. I said, hey, I knew, this is a true story. I knew I ruined your Hank Aaron ball. Here's the so you have the home run leader, who he still is Hank Aaron. Yeah. In my book. And here's the old-time hits leader. And I gave him a Pete Rose ball.
That's awesome. BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Clem is in Rockland. What's on your mind today, Clem?
Couple things. Well, first of all, I just want to say I'm confirming it's not Clem from Surfside, but I am probably drinking more Surfside than Clem from Surfside. Those things go down like water, man. And I'm in my pool every day, and they're just amazing.
There you go, Clem. I'm telling you. And now I'm going to have to call the Surfside Clem and get more coming here.
Where's he been? He's been hiding since the Sixers fell apart.
I want to make a little Mets-Phillies bet with him at some point here. Get us back on track here at the station. Get that pallet delivered. Go ahead, Clem.
Yeah, I just spent $1,000. My daughter's graduation party Saturday. I just spent $1,000 on Surfsides. But that aside, BT, remember that? Yeah, I know, man. She's very... BT, you got two kids, man. I got three girls, man. The oldest one is,
But anyway, I gotcha.
I'll just leave it at that, man. Yeah, yeah. She couldn't have anything. She couldn't have Mike's Hard Lemonade, anything else. It had to be Surfside for her and her, you know, friends. But, BT, there used to be this guy, Rick Wolf, man, on Sundays, man, that talks sports, man. And I got four kids. I teach, like you, man, travel baseball. I got a game tonight against Ramsey. I got travel softball, nice. League softball, league baseball, travel soccer, league soccer, coaching. I used to love this guy's shows, his perspective, talking about parents, umpiring, just everything. I see you taking the torch, man. I know you don't have time. Sundays is a busy day. But, like, what about a podcast, man? Like, dude, you're like the modern-day Rick Wolf, man. When you have so much insight to kids' sports, man, and you're passionate about, I can hear it, you know, you're passionate about all that stuff. Consider that, man, because I know
I appreciate that. No, listen, it's funny. When I used to hear Rick, and rest in peace, station legend, station staple, you knew Rick a little bit.
Yeah, I used to produce a show.
Guy. I didn't know you produced it.
Well, yeah, when I was behind, not like a regular producer, but that was one of the shifts on Sunday morning or whatever it was that if you're working that shift. So I did it many times.
Real gentleman, right?
For years. Yeah, oh yeah, great guy. And I grew up watching his father on News 12.
I remember I remember hearing that. Now, Rick was also a really good baseball player. I believe he played minor league. But either way, ironically, when I heard it as a kid or younger, the show didn't interest me. I'm like, I just want to hear, you know, people talking about the Yankees and the Mets when I turn on WFN. You know how it is.
Same thing.
And then obviously, you know, you could become a parent and you hear it very differently. And I remember hearing horror stories like from Rick Wolf on the weekends about travel ball, and I'm in my 20s. I'm like, this is never going to happen to me. And then thankfully there's no horror stories, but now I get it a lot more, at least no horror stories yet. I went on a show before he passed away. He just asked me to come on. And it just it was an honor. Now, is that something that I would do? 100% I would do that. You know, I'd probably have to find a way to tape it. But there's ways around that. That would interest me as a little once a week thing. That, you know, I love talking about that stuff. You certainly know that.
Yeah, no, I think it's a passion project for you.
No, it's no doubt.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Matt is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Matt?
Matty.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you today?
Good.
All right, so listen, you guys were talking before about bears and sharks and everything. I actually had a shark encounter.
Okay.
So I'm in North Carolina, and I'm swimming with my daughter. I'm about, like, maybe chest deep in the water. The lifeguard starts going nuts, blowing the whistle, telling everyone to get out. My wife is screaming on the shore, like, get the baby out, because I was holding my daughter. She was 2 years old at the
time. Oh, my God.
So now I start backing out of the water, and there's these two dorsal fins. It turns out they were called black fin sharks.
Okay.
I'm not a shark expert, but they had to be about, I swear, probably about 5-6 feet each.
Okay.
They were big.
Yeah.
So I start backing up. My wife is running towards the water. I literally threw my daughter like a cannonball to my wife. I start backing up. One shark goes one way. The other one starts slowly coming towards me. So I stood still, and I crouched down below the water. So, like, my head was out, but my hands were under the water, like, right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember something a teacher had told me in school, that if a shark comes near you, punch it in the nose.
Yeah, that's
true. So as the shark got closer to me, it was maybe 7-8 inches away from me. I just gave a quick jab underwater. I hit it in the nose. The thing went right away.
Wow. First of all, that's amazing, and you're right, that's what they do say, but, like, to have the state of mind to be able, anybody could say that now. Oh, yeah, if the shark is coming up, just punch him in the nose, he'll retreat. It's a little different when the shark is right in front of you with the fin staring at you.
Yeah, and also, I'm sorry, but I don't trust any of you. You with the bear, him with the shark, there's no way in hell if I were ever in that position, I'd be sitting there, throw the baby, here you go, honey, and then crouch down and get low. And get ready for the shark to come get me.
This guy was getting his leverage point. He's ready to go.
God bless you, dude.
Yeah.
I don't have the guts. I'll admit it.
Wow.
I'd be a frightened turtle in there. What are you kidding me? I'm out. I'd be panicking. I'd probably get killed because I'd be panicking. But
you'd make it worse.
Yeah, I
probably
know.
Would.
But
well, the thing, you know, the bear stuff there, I don't know if it always works, but there are 3, 4, 5 things to do, as we discussed, to at least, you know, give the presentation to the bear that you're more threatening, blah, blah, blah. Hopefully he retreats. Outside of the punch in the nose for a shark, I don't know what you do to a shark to dissuade the shark from coming at you. I don't think there's a bullet point. I don't think if you go on AI right now, there's going to be a list of 5 things to do if you're approached by a shark like if you're approached by a bear.
You know, there's a big risk where, in this case, our caller won. He took a gamble and he won. He got ready, punched the thing in the nose, and it went away.
Right first.
When you let your fist go, there's a chance it's not coming back.
That's true.
I mean, that's not a gamble I think I could take with a conscious mind, you know?
I get it. Again, are you even calculating that at that point? Probably not. But
you're right.
I hear you. I'll tell you what. I almost had this fear of, I mean, of course, getting attacked and eaten by a shark, but, like, almost like the shark swallowing you whole, and then you're in there, then you're in the stomach, and you're drowning, and you can't, oh, God, just, if you're going to come at me, just attack me, I guess.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Bruce is calling from Middletown, New Jersey. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, Bruce,
just calling up about DJ, but that thing with the alligator, it might have little arms, so they got two big, large legs, so that's why they're fast.
Mm-hmm. How fast do they move? They get up to about 20, right?
I heard they go, like, about 20, 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's what
maybe
I heard,
30.
Too.
And
how
fast can humans run? Like, the fastest humans?
I say, like, we're about 5 miles an hour less than them, so we're done.
Well, you see, well, that's true. I mean, we're dead and we're in their bellies. But the you see, sometimes they'll do this, like Tyreek Hill or even Saquon, like a top speed in the NFL. Yeah. Those guys, the top speed generally,
I think I heard something about 40. Didn't I see, like, one of the football players, like 40 miles an hour?
20? No, not 40. Not even close. 22, 23 miles an hour, something like that.
Yeah. So the alligator would get us.
Unbelievable.
But you could, you might be able to fight it off. If it gets to you, what is it going to eat first? Like, go for your leg?
What it's going to do
is what they usually do is they drag you and they spin you around and they drown you. They want to drown you.
He's right.
And then they eat you later on.
That's what they do.
Well, but if you're running and you're on land, where are they going to drown you?
Well, that's...
They're just going to smash it against the ground.
What kind of show is this today? BT and Sal, all the Fed, 888-808-1019. We also talk sports. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Mets game cruising right along here. Top 7, 1-0 Mets.
That's what happens when you don't hit.
Yeah, well,
pretty quick.
Neither team. A little pitcher's duel here with Peterson getting the start for the Mets.
He needed a good start.
Yeah, I know. He needed a bounce good back here. So, I trust Peterson. I know you love him, too. So, their rotation could look totally different. Come this weekend, but after the All-Star break, the Mets reloaded nicely here. Just a matter of what they're going to add to this ball club, specifically that bullpen. But 1-0, top 7. We talked plenty of Mets, plenty of Yankees. Kevin is in Mountainside. What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it. I just wanted to talk about Brian Cashman's comments yesterday in regard to Anthony Volpe. It was a sigh of relief for me. I really think it would be a mistake to move on from him. I know he's struggling. But only 2 gold gloves at shortstop in Yankee history. He's one of them. And Grand Slam in the World Series last year, he stepped up big. I'd hate to see him go. The second thing I want to talk about is what happened with his father at Citi Field last weekend.
Yeah, we talked about that. Go ahead.
Oh, you did? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I missed it.
Go ahead.
But this man, he was my doctor for 15 years. He performed surgery on me twice.
Wow.
He's the nicest, humblest guy you'd ever want to meet. For him to go off like that, that other fan must have said some, pretty awful, cruel things.
Yep.
And I just wanted to step, because it's been hurting my heart, really, to watch that video, knowing the man.
Yeah.
So,
fans,
you can boo, you can do whatever you want, but if you know that someone near you is related to someone on the field, don't go there. Just don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure they didn't know that, Kevin, and thank you for the call. It's a tough spot. I mean, we met Mr. Volpe and was a great guy.
Awesome.
Any parent could put, or family member of anybody in the public eye could put themselves in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And while his reaction is one that I would expect from my father under certain circumstances, or one that you would want from your parents or whatever it may be, he's also got to know better. And I think he knows that. When your son is the shortstop of the New York Yankees and you're out there in public in a road ballpark, no less, there are things that are going to be said that you're not going to want to hear, and you're not going to fight 50,000 people. Like, that's just not the way it is. So while I respect him on one aspect of it, he's also got to know better, and I think he knows that.
He does. You never want to become the story more so than the true subject of the story here. Listen, I'm pretty sure, and this is why I defended Michael, I'm pretty sure that it wasn't, hey, your son can't hit 95 miles an hour over the plate, or, your son can't lay off the slider on the outer portion of home plate. Like, I'm sure it was pretty vile.
But do you know that it was your son this or that? Because I thought it was just fans ripping Volpe. I told you half an hour at the game Friday, and Met fans were getting on Yankee fans for Volpe, because Volpe's been a major talking point.
I don't know the answer to that, to be fair. I don't know. But the way he reacted, that was my conclusion. I could be wrong. I felt like it was more of a streamlined, personalized attack. I don't know that for sure.
What kind of doctor is he, by the way?
I believe he's a urologist. I believe.
Might need him one day.
What?
I'm saying. I'm saying you could perform surgery.
Hey, by the way, hey, you sound like playing with Judgy. Cough.
I'm good.
I'm just saying
the caller said he had surgery multiple times and he's successful. Uh-huh. I don't know about you. I worry about these surgeries.
I worry about everything, too. Yeah, I'm not going to let Mr. Volpe hold the marbles. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I certainly wouldn't let his son.
I prefer somebody I don't know. Come on.
If he comes in a highly recommended surgeon,
I know he's very successful, but we've got good urologists. Oh, my God. That's the worst, doing that stuff. Ugh.
I don't think I even have a urologist. BT is on in the market for it, Mr. Volpe. Chris is calling from Vail, Colorado. What's up, Chris?
Don't talk badly about it. Take an intro.
Hey, how you doing? How's it going, Sal?
I live in the mountains. Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
I live in the mountains, so I play golf, and I see bears on the course all the time when I'm hitting, from the third tee.
Yep.
And I've seen mountain lions walking around the course. I've seen foxes eat little does. It's just nature being nature.
Understood. I feel like you said the mountain lion. I think the mountain lions are far less predictable and much more aggressive. Like, I don't know. I could be wrong. But if you bump into a mountain lion, they
are very aggressive. They'll come around your front yard.
Yeah, you're cooked.
It'll be outside your door when you walk there, and it's kind of freaky, but you have to be careful.
You carry a gun? Do you carry a gun or some spray?
No, I just walk.
You are nuts.
I know a girl in Harlem, and she says it's tougher out there than it is at 2 o'clock in the morning in Harlem. So.
I mean, it's
and I sit there and I think the Yankees got to do one thing. They got to get if they can get San Diego to trade Dylan Cease, if they can go after him. I think that might be a good pickup.
Yeah, you're going to hear a lot of names here. I don't know. Dylan Cease is, I'm not going to say no because he's got some higher end stuff here.
I don't think the Yanks. Need a high end guy. They have Max Fried. You have Rodon.
Okay, but when you say hey, you have Rodon, what does that mean? It means you have Rodon to do well against bad teams, or Rodon to get knocked around against good teams. That's not good enough.
You know how I feel about him.
Well, that's why I'm pushing back.
But they paid him to be a number two. Like
doesn't matter what they paid him to do.
It does in certain ways because how much are you going to invest in a rotation?
You want to win a World Series,
dude? You dumped all the money in Cole. He's not there. You dumped all the money in Max Fried. You dumped all the money in Rodon. Like
you got to keep dumping if you want to win.
I mean, I guess, but then think about how much more. So you're going to go get a superstar third baseman or whatever it may be, high-end bullpen arms. Like, the Yankees could use another arm. I don't think they necessarily need a high-end arm. And if it were, I would not go after Dylan Cease myself. I'd go more look at Alcantara and give up prospects to go get him.
I'm kind of with you. But Cease is not the name I was really thinking about.
If I'm the Yankees, who knows what Schlittler... Who knows what he'll coming back like? At least they have the potential here to have some. And again, Rodon should be in theory a higher end arm. I'm not wasting any resources on high end starting pitching on the Yanks. Plus, you know the price is going to be out of control. Paul's calling from Little Falls. What's up, Paul?
Hey, how we doing, Sal? I met you at Costco once on my line.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I recall that, but was it Jersey or Long Island?
New Jersey. You said you just bought a house up here.
Yeah.
We were talking for a second. That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate the conversation.
He sounds nice. That's what I tell everybody. He's a good guy. He's a nice guy.
From what I understand, you even mentioned me on a show after we met. I heard that from one of my coworkers.
Yeah, I probably did.
Which was kind of nice. But this is the first chance I've had to get back to you.
Well, we appreciate all that, right. Paul. What's on your mind today? Good to hear from you.
The tequila reference, when you were going on about the Pee Wee Herman song. When I hear that song, I think about the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie.
Hmm.
When they were meditating.
The first one meaning like decades ago? Because I took my kids to see one, I think, last summer, I think it was.
Thank you for the call, Paul. Great running into you at Costco. Yeah, they were the old ones. He was nice. I don't know.
Sounds remember. Like a really nice guy.
Yeah, I probably did promise him a shout-out, and then I did that, but this is over a year ago now. I haven't been in Costco in a while after that experience, probably because it's a mob scene.
I haven't been in 10 years. I'm not going. I'm never going.
You send the wife?
Well, I don't want to say I send her. She goes of her own volition.
What do you do about the water? Like, that's a tough thing. You know, my wife's got a... I'm like,
we usually
water.
Get water like elsewhere.
Okay.
You know, we're a big water family. There's always... Yeah, I mean, talk about a waste of money. I mean,
I know, the bottles of water.
Sal, think about all the expenses that our dads and moms... The phone, the cable bill, buying bottled water rather than just putting on the faucet or, you know, ripping out the hose during the summer back in the day. You know, think about all the things that we have to spend money on that our parents did not.
It's absurd. It never ends. Ridiculous.
Ugh.
Anyway, what was the point of that?
Costco.
Yeah.
I think.
Costco, we're not going. What time are we closing here, Dovey? I didn't get that info from you.
He didn't give it to you. That's why he's sleeping.
10 seconds.
Okay. So good thing I asked. Otherwise, I was going to take another call right there.
I actually did tell him.
Oh, okay. You did? Okay, though.
I don't recall. Gotcha.